This is a special edition of our State Capitol Report. Rather than rounding up the top stories in state government, as we usually do during this hour each week, we are going to begin a series of candidate forums featuring most of the candidates running for lieutenant, governor, and governor in the upcoming recall elections. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, April the 23rd. We start today with two lieutenant governor candidates this hour. First, a candidate who is running as a Democrat, Isaac Wicks. Then after 7:30, we will welcome in Malin Mitchell, who is the president of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin. Later this week, Friday after 7:30, we will hear from a third candidate running for lieutenant governor, private investigator Ira Robbins. The winner of the primary on May the 8th will face the incumbent lieutenant governor, Rebecca Clayfish, in the general recall election on June the 5th. So this is your opportunity to ask the candidates the questions that matter most to you about the issues that matter most to you. 1-800-642-1234. What are your questions first for Isaac Wicks? 1-800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Isaac Wicks is the self-employed owner of T&S Hardware in Elmwood in western Wisconsin. He's a former Republican candidate for state assembly. This time he is running as a Democrat for lieutenant governor. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you are a protest candidate.
I suppose. Protest, place filler, whatever you want to put down.
Yeah, well, why are you doing this?
Well, if you look at the way the recall law works, if there's no primary, then we'd have to have the general the same day. And basically, doing this will allow all primaries to occur the same day and all generals to occur the same day.
Yeah. So, Democrats say that fake Democrats are illegal. The GAB says that you didn't have to declare a party to run. You can run. Do you think this is, unethical in any way?
No, this is politics. The whole notion of them saying it's illegal and the Democrats and One Wisconsin Now, I mean, their whole intent here is to smear me or the Republican Party. They're, making sure that illegal Isaac Wicks, Republican Party, all get put in the same sentence and broadcast in the news. They don't care what the truth is. And they were successful. They managed to get all that accomplished. And, it's not illegal. The GAB said it wasn't illegal. Anybody with any kind of understanding of the way, that open primary process works understands that this is the whole reason why we have open primaries. It isn't a bunch of party bosses who have some sort of litmus test for candidates to get them put on the ballot. It's the electorate of Wisconsin decides who gets put on the ballot, and it's going to be the people who'd vote in a Democrat primary decide who gets put on the Democrat ballot. Who represents the Democrat Party, and that's the way it should be. That's the way the whole system is designed. And I don't see any tattoo on me that says Republican.
Well, did you volunteer to be a placeholder candidate or to run for lieutenant governor, or were you asked to do so by Republican Party officials?
I was asked to do so. I had, I had expressed interest in doing it if they needed somebody to do it just for the effort in order to make this whole process fair. I mean, a lot of people won't do this because you get a lot of nastiness by doing this. I mean, a lot of people have, pretty strong emotions over it, and we'll call you pretty nasty names when you do this kind of thing. But very few people will do it, and I figured somebody had to step up and do it.
Yeah. And you again say that you did this so there would be primary elections on May the 5th or May the 8th. I'm sorry, and to ensure that the elections were all on the same day, and that we wouldn't be having any general elections in May.
Correct. I mean, it eliminates the confusion of having generals and primaries on the same day.
Yeah. Well, you must, though, believe that by running as a placeholder, a protest candidate, you must not believe in this effort to recall Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish?
Well, I don't. The whole recall effort is, you know, if everything goes to, you know, the way I'd like it, I'd, you know, make sure this whole recall effort ends up being a grand waste of time and a waste of money. Generally, you know, the way I see a recall is if somebody has done something illegal and you've got a vast majority of the population wants them out, and, you know, that happens that way. But unfortunately, what's happened here is a minority of the people, you know, are upset with what the governor has done and have used that minority power in order to do this. And while it's perfectly within their rights to do this, and I don't disparage them for doing it, I mean, that's, you know, their political game that they're playing. And, you know, the thing is I just don't want it to be successful. So when the next time comes around, when people are just upset over political things that happen, they look twice and see that, you know, a recall probably isn't going to be the way to go. And, you know, it probably would have been, you know, their efforts would have been better spent in order to, you know, communicate with the public what their, you know, views are, get good candidates and run the next election and do it in a proper way. This just creates all kinds of uncertainty in the state. I mean, it creates a perpetual round of elections. It isn't good for the business climate. It's not good for the political climate. And it's just, you know, it creates, you know, a toxic atmosphere. And, you know, the Democrats were looking at recalling, you know, the governor even before Act 10, you know, came down the pike. So, I mean, it's just the whole thing is they looked at this as a political tool in order to just stymie everything that was going on in Madison. Well, I'm here in I'm the stick in the road for them. So.
And while you think a recall should be reserved for when a politician does something illegal, you acknowledge that state statutes don't require that.
Oh, of course they don't require it, and you know, and I don't think they should either. I mean, it's, you know, the way that the recall is, I believe, is the you know, it works fine the way it is. But like I said, I, you know, in the theater of ideas out here, you know, I want to, you know, I'm going to, they're using the recall as a tool on their side. And well, I'm using the election as a tool on my side in order to stymie what they're doing. And that's, you know, the whole effort here. I don't want to make this an easy process, and it shouldn't be an easy process.
And when you say a minority are upset with Governor Walker over presumably Act 10, what do you mean minority? Don't polls show that the state is pretty evenly split opposing or supporting the governor?
Well, 49% is a minority, and the last time I looked, the governor had 55% of the 55% support, and it only took, what, 25% to get the recall? 25% of those who voted in order to force the recall? 25% is a minority in my book.
We are talking with Isaac Wicks. He is a self-employed owner of TNS Hardware in Elmwood. He is running as a Democrat for lieutenant governor. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Quick check of the weather. It's going to be sunny and cool today with a few clouds. Highs will be in the mid to upper 50s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, April the 23rd. We will continue our series of candidate forums after the news after 7:30 this morning with another candidate running for lieutenant governor. Malin Mitchell, president of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin, will join us after 7:30 to answer your questions. Tomorrow, we will be welcoming in Kathleen Falk, former Dane County executive and a Democratic candidate for governor. That's tomorrow after 7:30. Wednesday after 7:30, Governor Walker has agreed to join us to answer your questions. After 7:30 on Thursday, Kathleen Vinehout, State Senator from Alma, a Democratic candidate for governor, will be with us. Doug LaFollette, Secretary of State, Democratic candidate for governor, will be with us Thursday after 7. And Tom Barrett, Mayor of Milwaukee, Democratic candidate for governor, will join us Friday after 7 o'clock. So some of the candidates joining us this week will have a complete schedule on our Facebook page and website for your information. Right now we are talking with Isaac Wicks. He is a candidate running as a Democrat for lieutenant governor, but he says he is a placeholder candidate or a protest candidate. And we are welcoming your questions for him. Steve emails, obviously he has the right to do this. However, did he tell people who signed his petition that he was a Republican? Isaac Wicks?
No, the petition says Democrat on it, and the people who signed it knew I was running as a Democrat. They know who I was. They knew what the situation was. In fact, a letter that went out with the election petition said, hey, Isaac Wicks is running as a placeholder candidate to ensure that there is a ensure that there's a primary election on the same date for everyone. Nobody was fooled into signing it. Nobody was fooled into what my reasons for running were. I know that there's been accusations of it, but if you were fooled, you were weren't paying attention.
Let's take some calls. Ron in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Ron.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I do not support the recall effort, nor do I support the Republican running in Democrat primary. The question I have is twofold. One is, was there any financial or any other favor that was given for Mr. Isaac to run as a Democrat? And the second is, do you think candidates should be held legally liable for promises or comments that they make before elections, and once in office, they either go against them or do not fulfill those? Thank you.
Did you follow that, Mr. Wicks?
I think I heard what he said. Number one, taking financial favors for running for office is highly illegal. Number two, should there be some sort of legal liability for politicians if they don't hold up what they say when they go to office? Absolutely not. I mean, there's absolutely no way you could enforce that, number one. And number two, lawmaking and being able to do what you say you're going to do are extremely complicated when you're dealing with in the assembly 98 other people, and in the Senate you got another 32 people, and then you've got three chambers of the government. In order to be able to uphold what you're going to say, in order to do what you say you're going to do, you'd have to be a dictator. So the notion that somehow that you should be up. You should be legally liable if you don't do what you say you're going to do is ridiculous. What you as a voting electorate should do is you should pay attention to what your politicians are doing. And when the next time comes around, if you feel that they didn't do what you want them to do, vote them out of office. That's the way it works.
Let's take a call from Janie in Two Rivers now. Hello, Janie.
Good morning. I was just curious to find out if he would continue the practice of Governor Walker. When I read the paper that he had given away $765,000 in merit pay, and his reason for doing this I thought was very hypocritical, by saying that these people, the 220 people in the public sector, could get better jobs or with more pay in the private sector. I guess I thought he ran when he did the Act 10. The reason for him doing it was because he felt that public workers had far too much and they needed to pay more. And I was just curious on his thoughts as to whether he would continue this policy or if he felt what he did was right. Mm-hmm. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Isaac Wicks.
Policy of the merit pay or whatever. So basically, the caller is upset that Scott Walker is paying the government, these employees more for doing, good job. Is that what she's upset about? I don't understand what policy she's talking about. Obviously, she's trying to pin some sort of hypocritical thing on the governor. I noticed she said that, all these all these public sector employees can get better jobs in the private sector. Well, if that's true, get out and get a job in the private sector. Nobody's holding a gun to your head.
Well, what she was saying is that Governor Walker was defending giving merit pay to some state employees, a practice that is reported he criticized when Governor Doyle was in charge of this. And he said, apparently, according to our caller, that he wanted to give the merit pay to these public employees because they could get a job in the private sector, and he wanted them to stay in the public sector.
Well, there you go. I mean, I don't have any issue with that. If we got the money, we got the money.
What do you make of the very latest news that was reported on Friday that Governor Walker does want to use Act 10 to limit pay increases for teachers? Should pay increases for teachers be limited?
I think the local school districts need to make that determination. This whole, you know, which is what the whole, you know, deal with Act 10 was, is to give the school districts the ability to compensate their teachers for what, you know, they feel that they should be compensated. I mean, there's no reason that Elmwood school teachers should be making the same amount that Milwaukee school teachers. And I'm not saying one should make more or less than the other, but it should be determined by that school district. You know, if they're having a shortage in Milwaukee, obviously they need to pay more. If there's a glut in Elmwood or Spring Valley or one of these little towns in west central Wisconsin, well, then they could probably get by with paying less. So I think all this stuff should be handled on a local level.
Cindy in Burlington is with us. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Joy. Hey, I want to go back to the other gentleman who said something to the fact, you know, that recalls or that you should be held liable. Didn't Governor Walker run on saying certain things, but he didn't say anything about collective bargaining or this Act 10 until he got into office? And you're saying that you're not supposed to be held liable, but he basically didn't say what he was going to do, but when he went into office, he did that. Isn't that our way of holding our politicians accountable for not doing what they're supposed to do or what they say that we're going to do or not do what they're supposed to say or do? You know what I'm saying?
Well, we'll see if Mr. Wicks does. Governor Walker should be recalled, according to Cindy, because he never said he was going to take away collective bargaining rights.
You see, Cindy's another one of these people who doesn't pay attention. She obviously wasn't paying any attention to Walker's campaign. I mean, Cindy's going to vote Democrat no matter what happens, and she wasn't paying attention to Walker anyway. She's just parroting the Democrat and the One Wisconsin Now talking point that Walker never said he was going to do this. That's complete nonsense. I was running for assembly at the time. I can remember going out and doing doors and talking to people specifically about, you know, teachers' salary and whether or not we should even have, you know, public employee unions and everything like that in the state. Walker has done this prior. She's not going to take my word for it, but instead of just believing what the talking points are, actually go do a little research, find out, you know, Walker has a campaign ad that he says he wants to do this in. So, you know, it's nonsense they're saying this, and basically what it is it's a, you know, they're parroting talking points without doing any research.
Well, with all due respect, Mr. Wicks, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, among others, have said that he didn't say he was going to restrict collective bargaining rights. He did say that he thought public employees should contribute more to health benefits and pensions, but they're two different things.
And yes, and once again, we go back to this thing that Scott Walker is the governor. He signs laws. He doesn't make them. The people who make the laws are in the legislature, and Scott Walker has the ability to sign what comes across his desk. So to say that, you know, he somehow makes these laws and, okay, he has to do exactly what he says in the campaign, once again, look at the way that laws are made in the state of Wisconsin, and it comes from the legislature, not from the governor's office. Mm-hmm. He has the ability to sign what comes across his desk.
Do you think that the policy changes put in place while Governor Walker was governor have been good or bad for Wisconsin, and why?
They've been extremely good. Just in the little bitty school district where I send my kids to school, we went from having a budget deficit to over $800,000 in surplus. They were able to fix a roof that was leaking for the last 15 years. So, of course, it's been good. They haven't laid off any teachers due to, you know, lack of funds. It's been extremely successful as far as I see up here. There's been, you know, a lot of sour grapes over it. But the thing is if you actually look at it and look at the numbers on it, it actually makes sense and it actually is working. I mean, it's either A, you work for a little less, or B, you lose your job. And I think Governor Walker made the right choice and realized that the economy is in trouble at this point, or, you know, we're having struggles with the economy. So, you know, asking the teachers to do what the rest of us are doing was a logical choice.
Sue and Nina is with us. Hello, Sue.
Hi. I'm just curious as to what would happen to the state budget if the Democrats got back into the government and put collective bargaining back in place.
That's not going to happen.
Well, what if it does?
Well, what if, you know, what if the sun comes up in the west tomorrow? You know, I mean, the thing is if you look at the political landscape right now, in this recall election, even if the Democrats gain control of the Senate and the governorship, we don't do another budget until after the fall election. So things can change back in the fall election. So the notion that all of a sudden we can have collective bargaining rights back, that's kind of nonsense, and it's a pipe dream. You're going to need to have a majority in both houses and the governor's mansion, and that doesn't look like that's going to happen in a foreseeable future.
Well, do you don't expect to win this primary, do you?
My intent isn't to win the primary. I have no desire nor intent to win this.
You just want to make sure that we have the general election on June the 5th.
That's it.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Isaac Wicks, self-employed owner of TNS Hardware in Elmwood, former Republican candidate for state assembly, and he is running as a Democrat for lieutenant governor in the primaries on May the 8th. We will welcome in another candidate who is running as a Democrat, who is a Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. We will talk with Malin Mitchell coming up after 7:30. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have a question for him. This is the Ideas Network.